Radio Headspace is brought to you by Quince. The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. Like premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I just ordered the gorgeous European linen smoked midi dress in navy, and I cannot wait to get my hands on it. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/radioheadspace for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/radioheadspace to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/radioheadspace.
You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Hi, it's Andy here, and welcome to Radio Headspace and to Wednesday morning. I had the good opportunity to sit down with an incredible young woman called Alison, who is facing terminal cancer. And as part of that, she's exploring life. She's exploring her own life. She's exploring the lives of others through the lens of having no time to waste. It was an incredibly inspiring, for me, like an incredibly inspiring conversation. I feel like there is nothing like that sense of urgency to sort of narrow the focus of what is important and what's precious in life. We got into a conversation about cancer. I had cancer myself a number of years back, and we were talking about the journey of that. I was very, very fortunate by comparison and had operation, went into remission and everything else, and thankfully it hasn't come back. For her, it's a very different situation where she's gone into remission at times, it's come back, she's kind of thought it was gone again and it's come back again, and it's been incredibly persistent. She's really sort of come to terms with this idea that it's not necessarily going to disappear. And we got into a conversation not only about the journey of cancer, but also the philosophy of the approach. And look, really easy for those of us who aren't facing a terminal diagnosis, really easy to sit there and wax lyrical on what kind of philosophy might be. And I can say prior to having cancer, like I may have had one idea about how I might approach it. And retrospectively, I look back and think, actually, in that situation, kind of feels a little different, you know. But we were talking about it and I was blown away by her approach and her philosophy. But we got into something very particular about the idea of how to approach cancer or any kind of illness or pain this way in a sort of a skillful way, approaching it perhaps with love rather than hate, perhaps with a sense of patience rather than impatience, perhaps with a sense of acceptance rather than resistance. You know, very often there's so frequently talked about in the world of cancer, but we talk about being a survivor of cancer. We talk about fighting it and beating it. And look, for many people, those philosophies and those ways of thinking, they work. And I'm not suggesting for a moment that if they don't work, then we shouldn't kind of use them. Of course, it's such a personal thing, and each of us have to find a way of approaching it, a way that works for us based on our own experience in life. But definitely when I received that diagnosis, the idea of fighting it in the mind, if we are fighting something, then there's a sense of, you know, an enemy in some way. At the very least, there's a sense of conflict, because if we're fighting something, we want to beat that other thing. And I think when there's conflict in the mind, there's tension in the mind. And when there's tension in the mind, there's tension in the body. I'm not sure it necessarily creates a space that is conducive for healing in the body. I could be wrong, and there will be many, many examples of people who have had that mindset, who have recovered and are well, and I'm well aware of that. But I just wonder what would happen if, rather than we thought about sort of beating it, instead there was a sense of, okay, how can I create the conditions in my body and in my mind to allow healing to take place? Because ultimately, the idea of beating something in our mind, at some level, there is a sense of wanting to take control and a feeling that if we can control it in some way, then we can define the outcome. But my own experience of being in that situation was that I had no control. Ultimately, nature would decide. Of course, I chose to have an operation. I chose treatment and everything else. But beyond that, there was a feeling that it was out of my control, and that all I could do, in fact, the only thing I had any control over, was creating the conditions for healing to take place. And I happen to think that it's not in tension, it's not in fighting, it's not in hate, it's in love, and it's in acceptance and creating a space. And I know that's easier said than done. And as Alison and I talked about this the other day, she was like, but surely you didn't just sit there and accept it. And look, I was definitely challenged, and there were days when I would cry and when it felt too much and I felt overwhelmed. But there was no point where I kind of felt that ultimately I would get to decide what the outcome would be. If meditation can help us in just one area of our life, it's in being okay with not knowing. It's being okay with uncertainty, knowing that we can't control everything in our life. And that may impact us in an everyday situation or scenario, or it may come into play in a really different, really difficult and challenging aspect of our life. Like the one I went through, or the one that Alison's kind of going through now, and hers is a far more serious kind of situation. But I feel like if we can bring a bit of that philosophy into our everyday life, then essentially we're training for those more difficult times in life. So if you can, if you're able to, as you go through your day today, just allowing, I guess, a sense of letting go of control, a sense of being more at ease with not knowing, ultimately of resting in uncertainty. I hope you have a great day today. Thanks for listening. I look forward to seeing you back here tomorrow.
Hi everyone, Kaysunga here. If you're here, I assume that you like Radio Headspace. And if you like Radio Headspace, you will love Dear Headspace. Dear Headspace is our weekly talk show featuring every teacher on the show and our wonderful host, Robin. We talk about life.
There is a level of almost addiction here where you're addicted to just information. It's like information overload.
Relationships.
Before you can spread love and kindness to others, you have to first cultivate it within yourself.
Yeah.
And anything else you can think to ask us. The first step with any change that you want to make is that acceptance and that awareness.
You can find it on the Headspace app or wherever you listen to podcasts.